doctor, you can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with us on the show is 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by Crazy Water. DrinkCrazyWater.com, or you can call them at 940-325-8870. Also by Smart Pot, and this is a terrific new product line. Actually, they've been around forever, but they've gotten into the retail business with these pots. Great for vegetable gardening, which we're talking about and going to continue to talk about this morning, and herb gardening at home. SmartPots.com, and the number is 800-521-8089. SmartPots.com. We were talking with Kevin in the previous hour, and I wanted to continue that. Kevin, you there?
Yes, I am.
The what we were talking about is he's got a peach tree that's got a crack in it in the original part, and then the there's a new shoot coming up from the side, and whether to keep those. Since the original tree was grown from a pit, Kevin, that, you know, that means you don't know who the parents were.
Okay.
And if it's, but like I said, if it's producing fruit, I think that's great. A lot of times you can luck out and have some really good stuff. So I would probably try to keep it alive and healthy. The root sprout, the sprout that's coming up from the ground, is coming from the root system of that tree too, since it was grown from a pit. If it was a grafted tree that you bought at a garden center or something like that, it would actually be a different genetics than the top of the tree. In your case, since it was grown from a peach pit, it's going to be exactly the same. So you can make the call yourself. If you think the original stem is too badly damaged to keep, let the other one grow. It's going to probably be identical to the original tree in your case, since it was grown from a pit. If you want to try to save the original shoot, use what we talked about in the first hour, the tree trunk goop, and smear that on the crack and continue to do it. And you'll notice that there'll be callusing that will grow and try to cover that crack up and heal itself if you keep putting the tree trunk goop material on the crack. Did you hear me talk about that earlier in the show?
No, I didn't know that one.
Well, what it is, it's a mixture of three things. It's a mixture of compost and soft rock phosphate and natural diatomaceous earth. Equal amounts of those three things. Add some water and turn it into a mud, you know, a muddy slurry, and smear it on the cracks and the wounded part. When it washes off and goes into the soil, it's a good fertilizer for the soil. You just add more of it to the wound. And you can substitute fireplace ashes for the soft rock phosphate if you can't find it locally available. And in your case, you can leave both stems if you want to. They ought to be identical since it all grew from a peach pit that you put in the ground.
So could I let this other one just grow to an adult with it? Was that maybe too hard on the root system?
Won't be any problem for the root system. It's just that you'll have the two trunks, and they'll eventually, you know, kind of grow together and might form a little bit of a problem where they're touching each other. If they are, if they're separate, you can have a double stem tree.
Okay. If I do decide to save the old tree, how much of this, the main trunk, not main trunk, but the main branches, I know I have to have a few of the last year's growth, but, I mean, how far can I take this back? Because it's probably right now, it's maybe 50 to 60% gone.
You mean the top is, a lot of it has died?
Yeah.
Well, just cut the dead out, and in this case, it's probably going to be best for you to just to baby that new stem and let it become the tree.
Okay.
If you've got that much dead in the top, just cut that stem away, let the new the new shoot become the tree. It's going to be the same as the old one, and see if you can't keep it in good shape. One of the things that may have happened is that the plant may be, even though you planted it from a peach pit, it may be too deep in the ground. You want a real dramatic flare exposed above ground. And so with that new shoot, since it came up from below the ground, it probably is too deep for sure. So take a stiff brush and brush the soil away, or you can use hand tools, trowels and things, if you're very, very careful, and expose the flare, and then that new shoot will do a lot better for you.
Hmm.
Okay?
Sounds good. All right.
Good luck. Keep us posted.
Right,
and we got an open line at 866-444-3478. Somebody called with a question about potatoes and couldn't hold. I'll cover that in just a minute. Right now, Flora in Cleburne, Texas is up. Hello, Flora.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Doing
first
good.
Of all, I want to thank you for what you recommended for our pear trees. Plum trees. We had two plum trees that were blossoming, and we covered both of them.
Uh-huh.
Did a freeze and took the covers off yesterday, and the blossoms are all great intact. So thank you for that.
Oh, good. Do you use floating row cover?
On one, I used partial floating row cover. I used blankets. I used whatever I could find
okay.
to protect it. So.
Well, it's a lot of trouble to do, but it does pay off, as you have seen. So good going.
Yeah, thank you. And the other thing I have a question about is grapes. We have some grapes we want to propagate. And should I do it now or wait till right before those buds are ready to open?
The ideal time for grapes and some other woody plants for propagation is as the buds swell, but just before they open up. So when we get, as the sun comes out around here and we start to get some warm weather, I think you're going to see buds starting to swell on plants all over the place. And so that's going to be your perfect timing is when you see that starting to happen. Make a cutting about 8 inches long, put it in some organic potting soil, or you can use perlite or sand or some other medium if you would like, but I use just organic potting soil, and you'll have 100% success rooting the grape cuttings.
Great. I have one more question.
Sure.
I have about a 30-foot long area. I want to make the hedge there that will be a hedge all year round, and I wanted to get some of your suggestions.
You want an evergreen hedge that's about how tall?
Maybe 8 to 10 feet.
8 to 10? Well, look at some of the hollies. There's a bunch of choices there. The one that's probably in that height category the best for you would be needlepoint holly. It's also sold under some other names, but basically needlepoint. It looks like dwarf Burford holly, but it's a little bit longer and more narrow leaf. It has one point on it, and it's a good one. It has red berries and very decorative. There are some abelias that are in that height range. The original abelia will get taller than that, but could be kept trimmed to that height easily. In fact, that won't get a whole lot higher than that, and that'd be probably real high on my list. I have some abelia that we inherited at our office that are just terrific. They have little white flowers all summer long. They're basically evergreen, and real hard winters they'll lose some of their foliage, but it'd be a good one for you to look at in this situation.
Okay, great.
All right.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
When we moved here 15 years ago, there was one row of grapes, and some of them are extremely old, but they have these vines coming up, and when I dig all the way down, there's these big knots at the roots. Do you know what that is?
Oh, these are grapes?
Yeah, in the grapes, there's these little vines that come up here and there that are very thin, skinny stems with shiny, heart-shaped green leaves. When I try to dig down to get them out, there's a big knotty.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you. I thought you meant the knots were on the grapes. What you're dealing with there, Flora, is my most troublesome weed. It's called Carolina snail seed. And if you look it up on my website on dirtdoctor.com, you'll get a bunch of information. It's actually a pretty vine, but it is the most invasive vine, weed vine there is in a lot of ways, because when you try to pull it up, as you may have already learned, any little piece that you leave in the ground is going to come up again. So right. All you can do is keep pulling it out and try to dig out those growths in the soil. You'll find some that are as big as a thermos bottle in some cases. I mean, some of them get really big.
Indeed, too. I've gone down quite a few feet to get one.
All you can do is just physical removal. Keep doing it. Sorry, I wish I had a better solution for you. I'm going to need to run. I appreciate your call,
though. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you later. It's Howard Garrett at 866-444-3478. Give us a call. The website is dirtdoctor.com. I'll talk about potatoes when I come back. Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless organic aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth:
Vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth, vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth, animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth, animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth, children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth, children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And just real quick on potatoes, because I want to get back to the phone lines, and then we can go back and get in a little more detail. But Irish potatoes, if you haven't already planted them right now throughout the South, it is time to do that. Be a little bit longer wait for you in the North. And the recommendations just get simpler and simpler for Irish potatoes. You can put down the entire potato. You don't even have to cut it up. The Ruth Stout method, or you can cut it up real simply into pieces between tennis ball and golf ball size. Try to have at least one eye on each piece. When you do cut it up, be careful not to break those eyes off as you do that and as you plant. Plant the pieces, and you can do it right after they've been cut without treating, if you don't want to take the time to treat it with fireplace ashes or something like that. It's questionable whether it really does a whole lot of good. I've done it both ways. But put the pieces just under the soil, inch or two at the most, and then cover with a real thick blanket of mulch, shredded tree trimmings, or alfalfa hay or something like that, and you're off and running. That's all you need to do. Drench real well with Garrett juice when they're planted. That's really the only treatment you need, and you'll have great production of Irish potatoes. Back to the phones. Let's go to Chicago, WCPT, and talk to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Howard. Hey, it's good to hear you back on the air here.
Well, we're delighted that you guys have joined us. We understand that we're maybe one of the few garden shows in the Chicago area.
Yeah, there's a couple, but this is the best.
So. Uh-huh. I appreciate it.
I got a question for you. Obviously, I'm from Chicago. Mm-hmm. My son went to school in Tempe, Arizona, just graduated.
Okay.
And in his rental house there, they got this, it's a nice old grapefruit tree, you know, probably 18, 20 feet tall, kind of compact.
Uh-huh.
I was there in December. I tried one of them. It was a little tart, but pretty good. So what care and feeding does a grapefruit tree need?
Well, I was just talking to one of my golf buddies yesterday about feeding a Meyer lemon, and it'd be pretty much the same situation. Feeding with a dry fertilizer right now at this time of the year, and you're going to be a little bit advanced with the climate there compared to here in Dallas. But feeding, if you haven't already done it, a dry fertilizer, maybe one of them that contains alfalfa as one of the ingredients, would be good to go around the plant. And then foliage as it grows and starts to set flowers and set fruit and everything, foliar feed once a month at least, and you can do it more often than that if you want to push things along. Foliar feed with the mixture that we call Garrett juice, and also drench that liquid mixture into the soil. And that's all the fertility program I'd recommend to have great production on the grapefruit.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
What about pruning? A little bit I read on this. I mean, to me, the tree looks a little overgrown, but I know nothing about grapefruit trees. So.
Well, the only thing that you do on citrus as far as pruning goes, Frank, is to prune for kind of unbalanced loads on the top. In other words, if you've got a lot of limbs growing one direction, and if the fruit starts forming there, it might break limbs. You follow me? You kind of stand back and say, well, how can I keep a natural form and take off some of the weight so that when this thing starts loading up, it's going to be able to hold it okay? And that's only pruning you really need to do on citrus.
Yeah, okay. So when does the fruit produce? I mean, we were there in December and looked kind of ready. So what's the season for this?
Well, you'll see white flowers first. And by the way, if anybody wants to do it, the white flowers on all citrus are great to use in herb teas. But after those flowers start fading away and all the fruit starts forming right behind that, what's the weather like out there right now?
It's, you know, in the 80s during the day, it's hot.
Yeah,
it's not like Chicago.
Well, it should be already going on, to tell you the truth. You already should be seeing the flowers and some small fruit sets. So if you're not pushing along with this fertilizer program we talked about, it will help a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Well, thanks for joining us.
I know.
And let's go to where? Outside Corsicana, Texas, I assume. Hi, Ann.
Hello, Howard. David couldn't wait anymore. I'm sorry. He had a couple of questions that you didn't cover in your potato discussion.
Okay.
We have been gifted a few years back with like 300 tons of shredded tree trimmings. And now in some spots, it is all broken down. And we have 4 or 5 inches of basically what is composted tree trimmings, nothing but composted tree trimmings, above fairly solid soil.
Uh-huh.
Is it possible to plant potatoes in that tree trimming and breakdown? And what would be your suggestion? Would you do it the same way with slightly above the ground and then cover it, or slightly above the mulch and cover it, or should we bury it down farther, or will it grow in the mulch?
Well, there's a couple of ways to go here. If the tree trimmings has completely broken down into a beautiful, sweet-smelling compost, which it sounds like it has in this case, yeah, you can grow in it straight. You don't even need to mix any soil in with it. I probably would, just to inoculate it with the native microbes from the soil. But you can grow it. We've done it with roses all the way up to all kinds of vegetables and herbs. If the compost is broken down real well, that works great. You can also do it in a cage, and as the potatoes grow, add more to the top and go up vertically. Let me put you on hold, and let's talk about it a little bit more so we're not rushed. I'm Howard Garrett talking about potatoes. When we come back, don't go away.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
The
Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we were talking to Ann about potatoes, and I wanted to keep her around because there's a couple of other things I wanted to bring up as well, and we didn't want to be rushed. Ann, you still there?
Yes, I am.
We,
you know, the thing that I wanted to say is, you know, a lot of people ask why we wouldn't just automatically dig into the ground. But where we have been suffering for the last few years with just outrageous drought here, this is the first time with this last serious couple of weeks of rain that we have not had cracks in the ground going down 5, 6, 7 feet,
right,
or being 3 or 4 inches across. So while we're saturated, we're almost too saturated at this point to plant in the regular dirt.
Well, I think that planting in your compost, if it's broken down as well as it sounds like it is a great idea. All I'm saying is that if you mix a little bit of the native soil in with it, it'll be even better. And then after you have planted, use the shredded tree trimmings that aren't completely broken down as your top dressing mulch. And you're going to have production, just tremendous, tremendous production, I think.
Well, I'm definitely going to do it. We've You know, people don't understand how incredible it is to grow your own potatoes. You know, they think, well, I can just get that cheaply at the store, but the flavor and the quality of a freshly picked potato, they're so creamy when they're cooked. You're cooking or baking them, that it's just so much different. It's so wonderful to do. And we're definitely working, you know, right now trying to do the other beds, but it's just in such volume out here. It's just too tempting not to try them.
No, you should. And you could go into the business of selling them. My favorite one here, because I just like the buttery taste, is Yukon Gold. Which ones are you growing there?
Now, we've got the red ones. We're putting in the traditional russets.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally love, and I think that the Yukon Gold grow better than people give them credit for.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking about going out and getting, I hate to buy in that kind of volume, but a 50-pound bag seems to be the only way I can get seed potatoes in Yukon Gold out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very seriously thinking about doing it because last year's crop was just amazing.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great idea to do. Yeah, best thing to do is plant several different varieties and see which ones do the best for you. Keep me posted. Send us some photographs. I'm sure everybody would like to see what you do with that big operation.
And we'll give it a shot.
Okay.
I appreciate your time, Howard.
Thanks, Ann.
Thanks.
And an open line for you at 866-444-3478. And the other thing I meant to mention it while she was there, but she's got a little bit different situation. Hers is a large scale kind of a planting. For those of you that have apartments and patios and not much backyard and small things, you can grow potatoes very well in that pot system that we've been talking about, that smart pot. It's a fabric pot, and potatoes would just do beautifully. In fact, you know, we'll do probably as well in the smart pot as in any system you can use. So if you've got limited space, Give the smart pot a shot. And for those of you that didn't hear me talking about it, in the South here, it is definitely time to get the potatoes planted. We've recommended planting Irish potatoes in Zone 8, which is what we are here in Dallas-Fort Worth area, as early as January. And if you get the tops frozen back, they just regrow. Some people don't buy into that. I was talking to Bob Webster on his show about it, and he prefers to wait till now. Even in San Antonio to plant. So you can do it either way. If you planted earlier and you got a little freeze damage on the foliage, your production should still be really good. In fact, it might even be better the earlier you got the potatoes in the ground. But for those of you that hadn't gotten around to it yet, get some good quality stuff and get it planted. And there's, you know, it's time to plant a whole lot of other things. A lot of the cool season crops, you have a whole new, in our zone, you have a whole new time period to plant the cabbage and broccoli and greens and Brussels sprouts. They take a little longer, so it'd be a little bit iffy on that. Onions can go in now, the onion transplants, just a lot of things. Radishes and carrots and all kinds of things can still go in. And we've got this perfect soil situation happening when the soil dries out from all this tremendous amount of snow and ice and rain that we've had saturating the soil. When it dries out, you've just got this beautiful tilth that's there for you in the soil. If you haven't done it already, add the amendments to that. If you've already prepared before, you may not need to do any more preparation. If you've done it in years past and there's been no traffic out on the bed at all, you can just literally go ahead and plant and mulch and be right on the way with your garden. James in Midlothian is next up. Hello, James.
How are you, Howard?
Doing great, thanks.
That's great. I have been wondering, I've had St. Augustine in my backyard and it all died. Why? I have no idea, but I want to put Bermuda in it. Could I go ahead and seed the dirt that I already have with that Bermuda, or should I wait and let it get a little bit warmer to put the seeds down?
It's better to wait until we have some warm weather and warm soil, James. You can put the Bermuda seed down now, and it'll just sit there until it's time for it to germinate. In the meantime, insects and birds and different things are going to get some of it.
Okay.
So probably the ideal thing to do is to wait until we've got somewhere around 70-degree air and 70-degree soil. But let's back up just a minute. What do you reckon happened with your St. Augustine grass?
Have no idea.
Is this a full sun situation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, could be grubs, could be disease, could be this, that, and the other thing. Have you dug down into the soil to see if there's any grubs or anything like that?
Not my front yard's fine. I have St. Augustine in that, but in the back, no, I haven't.
Something went wrong.
Yeah.
Any chance it stayed too wet or anything like that?
No. Uh-uh.
Maybe too dry?
Might be too dry.
Okay.
Might be too dry.
All right. Well, St. Augustine needs a little bit more water, so it sounds like Bermuda might be a good call. Also, buffalo would be, you know, worth thinking about, too. If it's full sun, buffalo grass is my favorite.
Okay. Also want to mention about the crazy water. Been drinking it for about a year, and it does make you feel so much better.
Oh, it's great. Thanks for the report. It is. I drink it a little bit of it every day.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call.
Bye.
Yeah, crazy water is one of our advertisers, and it's a mineral water from Mineral Wells, Texas, and it's available on the marketplace, and it's terrific stuff. Sometimes I drink it straight. Sometimes I mix it with other water, have kind of a blend. We have a filter system at our house, and I'll do a little bit of both. I like to use it in my teas and coffees and things like that, as well as just drinking it straight. If you hadn't tried it, give it a shot. Phone number, and there's an open line for you at 866-444-3478. In Fredericksburg, Texas, one of my favorite towns in Texas, it's Jason. Hey, Jason.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, sir. We just bought a ranch down there near Enchanted Rock between Fredericksburg and Lano.
Oh, man, that's one of my favorite things to do is climb up on that rock, I tell you.
Ours, too. And, you know, I'm up from the Dallas-Fairview area and have grown a lot for years in that black gumbo, but I'm in a different part of the country down there in Granite. And we were looking to plant some black sunflower seeds, hopefully self-propagating, for dove hunting down there. Mm-hmm. And spoke to a gentleman at the feed store, and one variety he recommended was Paradomic. But I was curious if you had any advice on planting, if there was a certain variety that did well down there, and if the deer and everything else leave any seeds to kind of self-propagate every year.
Well, I tell you what I would do, Jason. I don't have any personal experience in doing that as far as trying out a bunch of different varieties and all. But I tell you what I'd recommend that you do is two things. One is I would, no matter who you listen to and what you decide to do, plant several different varieties.
Yes, sir.
Have a mixture, because, you know, if the weather is one way one year and another way another year, you know, you may benefit one variety over the other in different kind of seasons. Also, there's a wildflower place down there in Fredericksburg, as you know. Wildfire Farms, yeah. They probably are in the business of sunflowers, you know, along with other things. And I would ask for their advice on what they're recommending. Also, another Texas company is a Native American Seed Company.
Yes, sir.
And I would see which ones they recommend. And you might as well cover all bases. There's a big company in Breckenridge, Texas, called Turner Seed Company, and you might see which ones they sell and which ones they recommend. They may have more experience from the angle you're looking at than the other people do, growing for beautiful flowers. Turner may have a little bit more experience from the hunting standpoint angle.
Absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to the bluebonnet bloom down there this year, too. I know they're expecting a banner year. So,
well, you know, that's another thing I was going to mention to you, Jason, and a lot of people, this surprises them. The sunflowers are kind of like bluebonnets in that a lot of times certain varieties will do better in pretty lousy soil than in really, you know, healthy, biologically active soil. Some
right.
Sunflowers are hybrids, and they're developed, you know, to be grown in real good fertility and good healthy soils. And others, you know, are a different thing. One that I would tell you to look at for sure, because I've had quite a bit of experience with it from a landscaping standpoint, there's a perennial sunflower that you might want to put in the mix, and it's called Maximilian sunflower. And it is a terrific plant, and it's one that, you know, doesn't have to be replanted from seed and come back. It is a tough, tough perennial.
And that's Maximilian?
Maximilian sunflower. And I tell you another one, too, that we've got in our backyard that might be worth at least playing with and seeing if it makes any sense in a wildlife situation like that. There's one that's called Jerusalem artichoke, believe it or not. And what Jerusalem artichoke is a great old big sunflower. It's a sunflower in my yard. It gets to be about 8 to 10 feet tall, and it's a perennial also, like Maximilian, and it has a smaller, not quite as showy yellow sunflower on the top. And the underneath part of it is a tuber system that is a substitute for potatoes.
Really?
Yeah, and it might be kind of cool to play with in your situation, see how it works.
Right. I've done the Russian mammoths more for aesthetics, but we like the seeds as well.
Uh-huh.
But those that we get to before the birds. But yeah. But sure, well, I sure do appreciate it. And if you're ever down Fredericksburg way, we'd love to have you come, you know, crawl around on some rocks with us.
So. Oh, that'd be great. Send me an email so I know all about how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you so much,
Howard. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and we got wide open lines all of a sudden here, so you can jump on. Won't have to wait very long at all. It's 1-866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be back right after this.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
We know probiotics are good for digestive health, but what about your skin? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products can disrupt the balance of the friendly bacteria on your skin. That's why Dr. O'Hara's probiotics merge ancient Japanese fermentation skills with probiotic and prebiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line to help revive and support balanced microecology for healthy skin. Their Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, promotes optimal skin ecology while clarifying and rebalancing even sensitive skin without drying. Their Magoroku lotion combines Dr. O'Hara's award-winning pre- and probiotic isolate with 14 oxygenating plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to restore your glow. Research confirms it inhibits growth of harmful bacteria that can cause skin disorders. Use it alone or with your favorite serums. Dr. O'Hara's probiotic skincare is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine stores.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The Sick Tree Treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares. Aerate the root zone heavily. Apply organic amendments.
and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Real quickly before we go back to the phones, the Victor pet tip of the week is this. And do as I say instead of as I do. And I'm getting a little bit better about it. Brushing your dogs, very, very important to do. Really is good for their skin, keeps the knots down to a minimum, helps keep them out. They like it. Most dogs do. Some, we've had some that don't. Our current two dogs, Tater and Carmen, love to be brushed. It really helps with the shedding in the house to an extent, and also gives you a good feel about whether they're getting any fleas. You can do a little inspection while you're doing it. It's just a cool thing to do. And also, when you're doing your brushing of your dogs, one of the things that is perfectly fine to do, in fact, it's a good thing to do. We were talking about this on Bob Webster's show when I had my visit with him yesterday. You can put the hair that you brush out of the dogs into the compost pile. It's a protein source and full of all kinds of trace minerals and good things. So that's one really good way to go. Or you can do like we were talking yesterday. You can put it in a mesh bag and or broadcast it in an area where you're having wild animals, or maybe even cats, if you're talking about brushing your dogs, come into your garden. Bob was saying that some of his listeners had given him some pretty good feedback. They have more problem with deer down there. We don't have a big problem in Dallas with deer. But they were saying that the dog hair was repelling deer and some wildlife pretty well. We've always talked about human hair being in that category, working, some cases better than others. But apparently dog hair will work really well also, so give it a shot. VictorDogFood.com is the website for this wonderful line of products. And also, if you'll go to our website and click on the button, the SPCA button, you can see the two dogs now, this week's and last week's dog, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. SPCA, we're trying to help find a home. Appreciate that help. Telephone number, and we got an open line for you at 866-444-3478. A couple of people have called in and couldn't hold, and I'll cover their questions in just a minute. But right now, Mike in Salina, Texas is up. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Well, hear me? I'm on my cell phone in my truck.
I can kind of hear you. Let me see if we can get through it.
Well, my problem I'm having is... I've got raised beds, and three years ago, I started two more raised beds, and I got some bedding soil from a local, landscaper, and I just can't seem to get anything to grow in it.
Okay.
Correctly. I even amended it with some compost, and it just really hasn't helped, and I don't know whether to scrape it all out, start over, or if there's something I can add to it.
I think we can add to it, Mike, and be okay. For those of you, he's got kind of a poor connection. If you couldn't hear him, he's got some landscape soil, bedding soil from a company, and put it in is not productive. What a lot of those, especially the larger compost companies that make mixes and sell compost, come up with is of compost. It's not composted quite long enough and not productive because the plants just kind of are lethargic and sit there, and some even turn yellow and don't grow very well. What you can do to change that is the same thing I'd recommend if you just had lousy soil on your property. Let's amend it with some additional materials. In this case, if you got a better quality compost, maybe like the Black Cow or something that's in bags, that would be good. Add some lava sand, add some green sand, add some whole ground cornmeal. Probably makes more difference than anything you can do. Whole ground cornmeal and dry molasses, Mike. Add that. Both of those you could add at about 2 pounds per 100 square feet. You know, equates to 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. Work it into the soil. If you've got any plants growing, you can do it around the plants. But it sounds like in your case, it might be better to replant after building the soil. I would also drench the soil with the Garrett juice. And in your case, if you got the commercial version that has mycorrhizae and beneficial bacteria in it, it'll make things move along even better. Final thing I'd say is that natural diatomaceous earth and or soft rock phosphate added to that mix that you're using there, and it'll work pretty well for anybody, would be something I'd, if you can get a hold of it, it'd be worth putting in.
All right. I got one other question, if that's okay.
Sure.
This year, I've never had trouble with this until this year, but my broccoli and kale, and then even my hibiscus that I brought into the house for the year, mm-hmm. has gotten just filled with aphids, and I'm not sure what's going on. I've never had aphid trouble, but it's just all over my kale and broccoli, and then the blooms.
Okay. It's related to what you're talking about, having poor production. That means that the plants are in stress. Nature sends in the cleanup crews, which in your case are aphids. You can knock the aphids off with spritzes or strong sprays with a little pump-up sprayer of just water, or add some soap to it. The Garrett juice spray with a little orange oil in it will knock them off. But the long-term solution is to build that bed to be healthier, so the plants are healthier, and then the aphids won't come in to attack the stressed plants. I'll put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and we'll do a third hour for everybody. If the radio station doesn't carry the third hour, you can listen to the live stream on dirtdoctor.com, and we'll talk to you then.